From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
This is Locked On Chiefs, and it is now time for a divisional playoff game preview. That's what we're going to go through today. We have a ton to get to, and I'm really looking forward to it. This is kind of the culmination, the first step forward towards the run it back. This is going to be a lot of fun. We're glad that you're here with us today. I'm Ryan Tracy, the founder of Rogue Analytics, your host over at RGR Football.
And I'm Chris Clark. Thank you for listening. This is your Red Friday edition of Locked On Chiefs. We are very excited to bring this to you, and it's going to be a fun game. A lot of talking going back and forth between the teams a little bit, and definitely between the fans for sure. Let's go ahead and jump into the news really quick, though. Kansas City got some injury, I guess, improvements in a way, and then, you know, guys that are not going to be probably playing this weekend as well, reported on Thursday, like Clyde Edwards-Helaire and who was the second guy that didn't practice?
Ron Yelder took a step back.
There you go.
That's unfortunate because I think they could have used him here.
Yeah, and I think they could have used CEH too, but, you know, honestly, it was really going to be optimistic for him to come back from the injury he got when they were trying to get him back. So, but it does sound like Rashard Fenton practiced today.
Yeah, and I'm optimistic by that. As he comes on, I don't know that gets him onto the field this week, but at least it sounds like he may be available. And if he's dressed and out there, if they need him, I think that's a positive thing. Unfortunately, Willie Gay was not out at practice, so you could pretty much call that a done deal that he won't be available for another week at the very earliest, and we really don't know. Haven't gotten a specific update on him that I've seen yet. Looks like Spags is at the podium, but we'll get into that later. Big takeaway, I think, really, is that they're about as healthy as you can expect right this minute. I would have loved to see Yelder get out there, but that's not the end of the world.
Right, and we haven't really discussed this, but no Mitchell Schwartz as well. Andy Reid said he definitely was not playing this week. He's not able to go at this time. I think that says everything you need to know at this point. I just can't see any possible way that he's back, even if they make it to the Super Bowl at this point.
I mean, right now, that's like at the very outset. Like, if he literally is close now, he might be able to make it back then. But I actually agree with you. I think this says, if you're not ready now, you're not going to be able to be ready. And
while they gave him the nice day-to-day designation, but at the same time, it's like, what has it been, 3 months now, almost?
It's been.
And I'm not trying to be critical of him. I hope that he can, you know, just get back to being healthy. Period. Let alone healthy enough to play football.
That's really the key. It's a shame to not have him on the roster, on the field. But that's a back is something that is, lifelong. This is something that will affect him for the rest of his days. So let's not be too harsh on him. Lasted longer than his brother did, to tell you the truth. And I think that's a positive step forward for him. One other note on Clyde, it's too bad to see him not be able to put a second day out there, but I can't say that I'm terribly surprised. I don't think this should also be seen as something unexpected. I would hope that by the championship game, should they make it, that he'll be available. We'll just have to kind of wait and see.
Yeah, and at this point with Clyde, I think that you have to look at it and say, you know, we have backs that could probably get us through this week. And honestly, I'm not so sure that he even would play in the championship game if they make it to the championship game. I think that they need to look at it and say, you know, honestly, we're asking him to come back from an injury that was pretty substantial, at least what it looked like. If you can give him basically what would be another 3 weeks almost, if they make it to the Super Bowl, that would be ideal.
Yeah, it certainly would. I think leave your 1-2 punch for the point where they're healthy. I think you have Lev, you have Daryl. I think you can get things done there. It's not something where I expect them to come out and have that complete like run game focused game plan in the first place. So I don't think that's got to be a drawback. But we're going to talk about the game plan and some of the aspects of it and how you go about attacking some of the matchups here. When we get back from this, Built Bar is back along with Built Go and has some great new things for you to try. Some of them are flavors, some of them are new mixtures, new concepts in what Built does. So check out Built Bar, Built Go, and the whole nine yards. My personal favorite still remains that caramel brownie, and I like that coconut one as well.
Built Bar is great for the health-conscious guy. Loser maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. Bars are low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber, and great for the keto diet. Go check out the peanut butter. It has 19 grams of protein, 180 calories, 5 grams of sugar, and 5 grams of net carbs. It is absolutely delicious, in my opinion. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get 20% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com.
So game plan is always a fun part because it comes down to what you see is matchups you can win and matchups you can exploit versus are there key players in that particular position that might be able to bite you back? You want to start offense or defense?
Oh, come on. Everybody wants to talk offense. Let's go ahead and talk offense.
Okay. So Mike Remmers has been out of practice. That's a positive sign, right? I don't expect Andy to shuffle anything
same
now.
Pitcher.
Absolutely. I don't expect any shuffle whatsoever to go on. So we know who we're going to see. The question is going to be, do the Browns try to dial up more pressure to help Larry Ogunjobi, who I thought played pretty good last week, as well as Myles Garrett, and try to really get them something strange? Because we saw a couple of blitzes that actually got home against the Pittsburgh Steelers, against an offensive line that's very experienced. I have a tendency to think that they're going to have to do a little bit rather than just try to cut their front four loose.
You know, I think that they're going to try to cut their front four loose, and I think that they may try to blitz. But here's the problem that you're running into. This is from our buddy Eric Eager at PFF. Patrick Mahomes has been blitzed on 145 dropbacks this year. The other team has sacked him 4 times on those blitzes. He averaged 9.3 yards per pass attempt, not completion, per pass attempt against the blitz, with 16 touchdowns and 1 interception. One. So if you want to blitz him, go right ahead and blitz him. More than likely, that's going to work out in the Chiefs' favor, not in the Browns' favor.
You're absolutely right. You're not going to get that kind of performance that you saw from old Big Ben. It is more likely that you get exposed because by taking one defender out of coverage and sending him on a blitz drastically ups the chances that Patrick Mahomes will be able to hang in there long enough to find the open man, exploit your holes in the zone, whatever you happen to be doing. And with guys like Travis Kelce, like Mecole Hardman, who's very opportunistic, as well as, I mean, obviously there'll be focus on Tyreek Hill. And then it comes into like the wild card, Marcus Robinson. DeMarcus does a really good job on those kind of breakdown plays where Patrick gets flushed or decides to leave the pocket anyway to try to ad lib. So I really don't expect it, but if they choose to blitz, I would have to call into question the decision-making there in Cleveland.
Absolutely. You have to call into question the decision-making when it comes to the defensive coordinator if they're going to blitz him. I don't think that that's the way they try to beat him. I think that you have to look at it. But here's the bigger problem that the Browns are going to have. If you don't blitz Patrick Mahomes, you give him all day against your secondary. If your secondary is okay to a strength, then you're okay, and you could be in for a decent game against Patrick Mahomes. Problem with the Browns is their safety group is very, very bad. And if they give Patrick time to throw the ball and sit back in there and try to find somebody, he's going to pick this safety group apart, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I know they're going to get Ronnie Harrison back. I don't know that that's enough to lift that particular group. You're absolutely right. I think that in particular is going to be kind of a concept for them to attack by numbers. You might see the Cleveland Browns go to more of a dime. I certainly expect them to play two high safeties. They're going to try to shade it. I did a film breakdown the other day on RGR that I put in some time digging through the last couple of games and how they chose to attack passing game. And they're going to give you looks single high, but in the end, I think the only way that they're going to be able to slow down the Chiefs' attack is to shift back into a two high safety cover two, cover four, maybe mix it up a little bit and go cloud if you really need to, where you have one safety take one half, and then you have the other safety over the top of maybe underneath man. There are a lot of combinations you can do, but I think using two high safeties is going to be the key for them. And that means that Patrick has to pull his eyes a little bit closer down, attack the middle between the hashes with the tight ends and the slot receivers.
Yeah, and that also means that they're probably going to be giving you a light box and they're going to be daring you to run. And I think that's another place where I think Kansas City could really take advantage. And I say that because at least from the last practice report I saw, they're still missing B.J. Goodson. Maybe he's going to be back for the game. We'll see on that. But him not being in the middle of the field could really hurt them. But you also look at the fact that Kansas City has so many different things that they can do coming out of the backfield with all the different players that they have. They can put Tyreek Hill in the backfield if they want to and use him in that capacity. They can put Mecole Hardman back there. We've seen what Le'Veon Bell can do, and we've seen what Darrell Williams can do. You don't have to get chunk plays with this offense. This offense is capable of going 90 yards with a long drive if they have to. So, you know, the best way that the Browns are going to try to attack this offense, I think, is try to make them go, you know, 75 to 80 to 90 yards as much as they possibly can and do it a chunk at a time, as opposed to, you know, huge chunks where you're going 30 or 40 yards at a time.
That's true. But I will say, I think they will have some opportunity, because when you look at the lineup, and I don't know the Browns well enough to say, because Harrison's ascending going to be back. I think he played a few snaps last week, but it wasn't a large volume. But if you're going to up him again where he's back at the starting level, who are you going to take out? And from my count, it still looks like that's going to leave a guy named Stewart and a guy that the Chiefs know pretty well, and Carl Joseph, out there on the field trying to cover Travis Kelce, or at least guard the middle from the crossing routes and the deep overs. That's still a recipe for disaster for me. So it comes back to, do you play action off of that and bring it down, or do you try to go like what you did with the Bills and actually attack them in the run game?
I think you have to actually attack them in the run game. I think if you look at what they've done with Le'Veon this year, they haven't really used him. I expected he would get a lot of run in week 16. He got some, but he didn't get near as much as I was expecting. And I thought that they were going to put him into the offense a lot more as the season went on, and they really didn't even do that. So to me, this is a game where you release Le'Veon Bell. I'm not saying you run it every single play, but I'm thinking you use a running game and try to take advantage of it. Because at some point, if you can get the running game going, they're going to have to at least step up and try to stop the running game. And then you can absolutely beat them over the top very quickly.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a very good plan. It's something that I think they have a couple of other tendencies. I don't see any reason why you don't specifically focus on one Terrence Mitchell. I don't see any reason why you don't specifically focus on trying to go after Sione Takitaki. Because while he did make a couple of plays in the last couple of weeks, I also feel like he's slow getting back into his zones. He does allow guys to go past him in some of the man coverages as well. So like I would be pinching the middle of the field all day long with Travis and McColl, and maybe even motioning Tyreek into the slot as well.
Yeah, and I could definitely see that. I think the other thing that you need to look at is maybe you specifically try to move Tyreek Hill around to where he's not on Denzel Ward. Not saying that Tyreek Hill can't get open around Ward, but I do think that if you give up, for example, if Sammy's not playing like it looks like he's not going to, maybe you put DeMarcus Robinson against Ward. If Ward takes DeMarcus Robinson out and you still have Tyreek Hill being doubled on the other side, I still like that other matchup. Their corners are still not that good outside of Ward.
That's a fair point. And I think not only is that true, but they have to be aided, I think, by their defensive front, maybe more than most. You know, people might say this exact same thing about the Kansas City Chiefs, to tell you the truth. But when I look at where some of the trouble spots are, yes, Myles Garrett is Myles Garrett. But to tell you the truth, the thing that concerns me more is the best way to protect those guys in the back is to get a big game out of Larry Ogunjobi, because I think he's going to have plenty of snaps where he's directly in the face of either Wiley or Ryder or some combination of there. And we've seen that sometimes A-gap pressure will bother Patrick just like any other quarterback. It's about how he reacts to it, like we talked about earlier. What's your scariest matchup there?
You know, I think you make a great point with Ryder in the middle. And I think the other key here that we need to consider is that one thing that you have to remember is Ryder played most of the season. I still think he was injured most of the season. And at this point, he's fully healthy. Now, whether or not that's going to make a difference, we'll see. But I do think that, you know, him being basically off for 3 weeks, I think is really going to help this offensive line. And honestly, with the rest of the guys as well, I think that'll help get them a little bit fresh and get them to a point where they're ready. I do think that the offensive line versus their defensive line could be a big matchup concern. But the thing that you still look at with Patrick is he has been used to it almost the entire season, which you kind of hate saying. But with the way he's played and the way he has kept his eyes downfield and his pocket presence that he has developed over the past couple of years, he's able to move around in the pocket just enough to usually avoid most sacks.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. One other guy to keep an eye on that I just want to mention, got some pressure out, Sheldon Richardson, who's going to be in the interior there with Larry. But Porter Gustin, a guy that hasn't been proclaimed much. I thought he had a decent outing pre-draft, got into Cleveland, and I think he's a guy that might be able to give them kind of a change of speed rush that might be able to be something they have to pay attention to. But these are not the only matchups. We have to flip it over. And I think there's a little bit more to be made there. So coming up next, we'll talk about the Chiefs defense against Baker Mayfield and, you know, a couple other friends you might know. Are you ready for some football? The playoffs here, the postseason is already rumbling in the NFL. It's a really exciting time to be an NFL fan. And there's only one place that has you covered and one place that we trust. BetOnline.ag. Sign up today, get a free account on BetOnline.ag, and use promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus.
Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sports book experts. Go check out BetOnline.ag. Friends you might know. I like the way you put that.
Well, you know, supposedly there's still contact between some guys in the Chiefs locker room and one Kareem Hunt. I don't think he likes the contact Sammy Watkins has given him, but
I was going to say, doesn't sound like he appreciates the Sammy Watkins treatment. You know, you look at this game and you look at what it's going to mean for Kareem Hunt. I think it is going to mean a lot to him, but to be fair about all of it, he can't really blame anybody but himself. He put himself in the situation, and you know, at the end of the day, if he wants to use it for extra motivation, good for him, but the organization moved on, and they're happy with what they have.
And they should be. I don't think that's anything in question there. The fact is that you have moved on, and you do have a new home, and you get to go up against your former team. Well, more power to you. But the bottom line is that at the end of the day, he's still a good running back, but he's part of a tandem. And I think it is the tandem that is more scary, because the thing that I think the Chiefs are more susceptible to is getting punched and beaten up early in the run game. And then what that does to the running back pass game, I think, is what gets opened up off of it.
Yeah, and that's definitely a concern. The bigger question to me is, how's this game going to start? If Kansas City finds itself getting out to a 10-point lead or a 14-point lead early for some, you know, their defense gets a stop or there's a turnover early and they end up getting, you know, head early, I think that changes the game, the Browns' game plan. They're not going to be able to run the ball as much as they want to, and I think they do want to run the ball against Kansas City, and I understand why they want to. The other side of it, though, really is you look at this defense, and there are a lot of people out there that just absolutely simply disrespect this defense. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying they're great, but they're a lot better than people are giving them credit for.
They are, and they have pride as well. They've got a little bit of rest working for them as well. There's plenty of things that put them on the track.
Anthony Hitchens back.
Right. Hitch is back. Jamie Wilson got some snaps, but he should be well rested. Looks like Ben Neiman is practicing. So, I mean, we could talk about Willie all we want, but when you look at their starting lineup, they're going to have their starting linebackers back out there for better or worse, however you feel it is. The question is.
Right. And they may have Dorian Daniel as well.
Mm-hmm. So strength wise, they're coming back. I think that this is the point that we've kind of been waiting for. And I feel just, you know, instinctually that this is where Frank Clark starts to turn it on, because this is for all intents and purposes to Frank Clark, this is the game he's been waiting to play, right? To get into the postseason where he knows he has to perform. And I think I don't trust that Baker Mayfield without a severe running game. If they run for 200 yards, that's a different story. If they have to use the play action, I don't trust that he's going to have all that time. I think Frank, in particular, is out for blood in order to get into that backfield and prove some of the conversations that even we have had this season wrong.
No, I definitely think that that's a severe possibility. I will say this, though. He is picking one of the toughest offensive lines to do it against. The Browns' offensive line has been very good all season. They will get back. They will get back Betonio. I think that they're going to have all of their starters, although it looks like a couple of guys were limited in practice early in the week. I would expect that they're still going to play. But you're right. I mean, this is what Frank Clark waits for. And, you know, Chris Jones has got to have a big game, too, to be fair about it.
Mm-hmm. They are a 1-2 punch and a duo by all respects. The question is going to be, is how do they choose to supplement? Do you get enough pass rush out of Okafor, maybe Mike Dana, maybe even Tano Pasanio, or do you feel that you have to start bringing the blitz? If they are, if they're seeing what the Browns sometimes do in multiple tight end sets, I think you're going to be able to stay in that base defense with three linebackers on the field. And I think if they do what they did against the Tennessee Titans last year, I feel like they can combat that pretty well. It's when they get into the 11 personnel, when they go four wide, and now all of a sudden you're back in the dime. And can you generate the pressure with just four against that? Or do you have to commit one of those space defenders like Dan Sorensen to the blitz?
Possibly. The one thing I will say is what you looked at last year is going to be a little bit different this year because your corner group is a little bit better than I think they were last year at this time. Snead is, I think, a key facet in this game that really needs to be looked at and thought of that way because he has been fantastic this season. And I do think that he really helps you on the back end of the defense. And then you start looking, okay, well, we know Daniel Sorensen's probably going to start because Thornhill still isn't 100% or won't be 100%. Tyrann Mathieu is Tyrann Mathieu, and he's going to do what he does. I do think that they're going to have to blitz in this game to get after the quarterback, and I think they're going to have to disguise the blitzes very well because, like I said, the Cleveland Browns offensive line is fantastic. But I do think that Kansas City still has the ability to stop this team. I'm not going to say that they're going to hold them under 20 points. I'm not ever going to go there. But I am going to say I do think that they're going to slow them down more than some people expect that they will.
I certainly hope so. I am very concerned about Nick Chubb. That is the primer that I am most concerned about. Don't get me wrong, folks. Jarvis is going to get his catches. Kareem Hunt will get his catches. The question will be, how do they choose to cover him? I expect it to be some kind of combination of either if they're in the base, a linebacker initially, and then falling off to a safety where they kind of pass it off, or else they might bring Sorensen down and try to see if they can let him run with him enough. Speed-wise, you know, flat out in a race, I think they're fairly comparable. It's just that I don't feel like Dan corners well enough to stay with routes that Kareem certainly has gotten better at running even since he was a Chief.
There are definite concerns going to get this Browns offense, and don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to say there aren't. Really, we've already talked about what I think is going to be the key to this game. I think the key to this game is going to be, is Kansas City's offense going to show up and put up 30 points plus and maybe close to 40 points in this game? If they do that, this game really isn't going to be that close. It may, the score may end up being close at the end, but it's not going to be close most of the game.
Knock on wood. That's how I kind of see it coming down too. I think at the end of the day, they're going to have to take some punches in the face. I think they will be able to absorb that aggression and be able to come back where they can settle down on the defensive side and kind of spark up on the offensive side.
The one thing I will say, and sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. The one thing I will say, though, that has impressed me getting ready for this week is listening to Patrick Mahomes talk. Because, and Travis Kelce even talking, Patrick was studying any team that they could have possibly played and had an entire notebook full of tendencies and thought processes of what he could attack based on who they could possibly play. The kid is zoned in, and with everything he has shown you this year, when he is zoned in, when he knows what's going on, they're going to be in a great spot offensively.
Absolutely. And Andy Reid talked about that as well. That's pretty common for the coaching staff to do, for the pro personnel group to be always scouting whatever your options could be. But the notebook with Patrick is important because it gives you another angle. It gives you something that Peyton Manning used to do, quite frankly, where he had his notes on teams he might face, then the coaching staff does, then the scouting staff does. You all come together. I think it gives you a more 360 view and shows the maturity, once again, that Patrick Mahomes has gotten to this point in what, year three on the field?
Right, and the maturity goes way beyond that because it wasn't that he did this notebook after he knew Cleveland won. It was he had this on, what, four different teams?
Mm-hmm.
It was based on whoever they could have played. So that means how much film did he watch to get tendencies to write all this stuff down and start to get into the game plan and think offensively, what can we do to attack this defense? You know, we talk about Patrick Mahomes and the different things that he's able to do. I'll never forget earlier this year, I think maybe it was even last year, where he talked about a specific situation where Denver ran a blitz. They had only run that blitz one time the entire year, and Patrick Mahomes knew it was coming against Kansas City before it was ran because he recognized the defense. If you don't think he's going to recognize tendencies based on what the Browns have done to this point, you got another thing coming. He's going to be ready for this game. As long as the team executes, I think it goes Kansas City's way pretty easily.
I do as well. At the end of the day, I think the Browns are going to get their yards on the run game. I think they are going to put up points. I'm not sure that they can match last week's output that they had, which more credit to them. There was a defensive score. There were all kinds of things. I think at the end of the day, they put up a very good fight, but I'm calling it Chiefs 32, Browns 27.
Oh, so you're going less than a one score game.
Mm-hmm.
I thought you were going to go two
it's
score.
Like it's
you
a know? Pattern or something.
Yeah, I know, right? You know, I look at this Chiefs team and I really look at some of the way that the national media is portraying them. And I know that people say that they don't care and they don't listen and whatnot, but you can't tell me that they don't hear it. You know, they're 14-2. They were the best team in the NFL this year, in my opinion. And I don't think it was particularly close against most teams. Maybe the only other team that I would say is really close there is maybe Green Bay, which I think that they could play them in the Super Bowl, but we'll see how that ends up. But you look at this game and you look at what it could mean for Kansas City, especially when you're looking at if they're playing the AFC Championship game, regardless of who they play, this is a statement game for them. This is, we were the best team in the NFL. We had the best record in the NFL the entire season. We're the defending champions. And guess what? We're going to go and we're going to make a statement. I think Kansas City has the ability to score 35 points. Without Sammy Watkins, I would have probably said maybe closer to 40, because I do think Watkins takes a little bit out of this offensive staff or this offensive firepower. Mm-hmm. But I still think Kansas City scores close to 35 points. So I'm going to go, I'll say 34-28 Kansas City. And I really think that while it's a one score game at the end, I don't think it's going to be that close most of the game.
Well, we'd like to know what you guys think. This is the prime time. Hit the iTunes reviews. Give us your score predictions for Chiefs versus Browns. Hit us at Locked On Chiefs on Twitter as well with the same thing or any questions, any topics you definitely want us to look at as we go through this game. We will be back with you post game with as much analysis as we can provide in one 30-minute go. It should be better entertaining. It's been a long road to get to this playoff game, Chris. Congratulations. A season is in the books. And we'll see what they can do with the postseason.
Looking forward to it, and enjoy your Red Friday.
Thanks for listening to us today, folks. We'll talk to you post-game. Ryan Tracy is the founder of Rogue Analytics and the host of RGR Football on YouTube. Follow him there. Chris Clark is a senior analyst at ChiefsDigest.com, where you can get his work. Rate and review at Apple Podcasts and subscribe on your preferred podcast platform. Thank you for listening.